After Alex had turned on the camera light, a panic wave went through the flock. He saw a long, dark hall full of de-beaked, derailed hens in tiny cages, cackling and screaming. A sudden coldness hit him at the core, and he took a step back. It was like a scene from a utopian horror movie.
My name is Henrik Vilenius, and I'm the author of The Rise Up Trilogy, a young adult coming-of-age story about Hashim, Alex, and Mariam confronting real-life issues like climate change, corrupt politics, animal cruelty, and racial and gender equity.
Ahmed sat in his office, using a photo-enhancing program to turn a grainy surveillance photo into an identifiable headshot. It was one of the many skills he had learned online in order to take his mind off the raging civil war on the streets outside. He had never imagined that they would come so handy later on. His cousin, who lived upstairs, had a reliable internet connection that he could tap into. Then one day, his cousin disappeared without a warning, and the access was soon cut off. After Ahmed finished with the picture, he ran a Google image search and found Alex's yearbook photo that matched his quest. Then he did another search by name and found Alex's Facebook page. Most of the posts there were limited to friends, but for Ahmed, it was only a minor hitch that could be solved by a few keystrokes. When it came time for him to take the next step, his whole body got tense. Ahmed didn't like to be in contact with Vlad, not even sending him emails or text messages. Of course, he preferred those to being face-to-face with that brute. But still. However, he didn't have a choice in the matter. Even if his target seemed to be a pretty normal teenager, with surprisingly many Muslim friends, though. Vlad replied immediately, asking him to look for a white Prius around 2:30 p.m. just outside the gate, and find out its license plate number. Ahmed went back to work. Going through the surveillance footage helped him to not think of what he was actually doing. He knew very well that the outbreak of bird flu was caused by negligence, and now they were trying to put the blame on innocent people. Unfortunately, integrity was not a luxury he could afford. His boss had promised to use his government connections to help bring over his two orphaned kid brothers from Syria. It could take up to 10 years to do it through the normal channels. Besides, he was afraid that they would not survive that long in a war-torn country still plagued by sectarian violence. Hashim stared at Vlad on a news clip on his mobile screen as the security chief ushered the workers out of the van in front of a hospital in New Jersey. He tried to get through the veneer of Vlad's brusqueness to see if there was anything he could relate to. After all, Vlad was a fellow Muslim who had been through unimaginable horrors. The holy book talked about one God and one family. In other words, Vlad was his brother. "They will be kept under quarantine for at least a week," the newscaster said as the workers filed past him. "Although I cannot see any visible signs of illness, they have good reason to be scared, as their fellow worker, Ramon Hernandez, fights for his very life upstairs." "These are not the same people we saw," Alex cut in. Hashim wasn't so sure, but Alex had a lot better photographic memory. As he checked over their faces, he indeed found a common denominator that stood out from those that they had just seen briefly on the egg farm. "According to the hospital spokesperson, Mr. Hernandez has been unable to shed light upon the events prior to his waking up in the hospital," the newscaster continued. "Apart from a brief conversation on the phone with his wife yesterday, Mr. Hernandez has spent his time sleeping."
"How can you tell?"
Miriam asked.
"There are no Mesoamericans here,"
Hashim responded.
Miriam nodded her head.
"They got rid of the undocumented ones and replaced them with documented ones. I'm sure that the security chief has told them to stick with the story or something terrible would happen to their families back home. It's straight out of the human traffickers' playbook."
As Vlad disappeared behind the doors, where the cameras were not allowed, Hashim realized he could not feel sorry for the security chief. Drawing his shoulders back and pushing his chest out, Hashim felt how his tense body relaxed. From now on, he wouldn't hesitate to use anything in his power to take this man down, like he had done with his double-crossing mullah. Praying for him would be a waste of time, because his heart would not be in it.
Without intention, it would not be valid, as sincerity was the action of the heart. Miriam put away her phone and turned the engine on. She drove out of the parking lot, where they had stopped to watch the news, and took the exit for the highway. As they passed underneath a bridge, an automatic reader clicked on the side of the road and sent the license plate number to the central traffic control. As she followed the road north, Miriam could catch sight of the lake beyond the pine trees. Opening her window halfway, she inhaled. It definitely smelled different than the salty ocean air on the East Coast, with its earthy odor. The Midwest was not called America's breadbasket for nothing, although chemical fertilizers played a big part of it, destroying the land and the rivers in the long run. More than half of the crop was used to feed the livestock, and over half the pastures were overgrazed. If people would change to a vegan diet, there would be no more famines and a lot less land degradation. One way or another, she was glad to be back. She loved the way the forest hid most of the summer houses dotting the shoreline. It gave an impression of a pristine, unpolluted enclave that wasn't yet spoiled by real estate magnates and amusement parks. You could still walk in the forest and hear the birds singing. After taking a left turn, Miriam followed a gravel road until she reached a steel gate. Now all three of them had opened the windows, and she could tell from the look on the boys' face that she wasn't the only one enjoying the fresh air. They all had spent their childhood on the banks of the magnificent Lake Michigan, and this was still where they felt the most connected to. You can take a boy out of the Midwest, but never the Midwest out of the boy. Miriam got out of the car and pushed in the code that opened the gate. She parked the car in front of an imposing log house her uncle had built, not only for his family, but for his brothers' and sisters' families, too. This was the place where their clan would get together for a couple of weeks in July, and sometimes at Christmas time. Seeing Alex staring at the 3-floor-high building with his mouth open, she wondered if it had been the right decision to come here. In all honesty, she felt embarrassed by his opulence. She loved it, of course, but it was not something she strived in life to have, and she hated the feeling of making Alex uncomfortable. Unfortunately, they didn't have a choice. This was the best place to hide while they plotted their next move. Nobody would know they were there. In her family, boys only had 3 career options: medicine, law, or business. As a girl, she had more freedom to choose because it didn't matter what she studied. After all, she would end up staying at home when the children were born. That was what her mother had done. However, that was not in her plans, and she would never have a house like this. Instead of building walls around her to protect her from the realities of life, she wanted to take them down and not be afraid of otherness. After carrying the groceries inside, Miriam proposed that the boys would go for a swim while she started the dinner. "And you get to wear your new swim briefs," she added with a mischievous smile. Although astonished to have suggested something so bold, she kept her cool and nodded playfully. As a matter of fact, she had to admit to herself that she was curious to see what Hashim would look like in those skimpy briefs. For whatever reason, there was a new spunky undertone in her life, and she didn't know if she should be scared, excited, or both. Hashim shook his head.
"I would, but I think I lost them."
"You would, you say? Well, guess what? They're right here," Alex said and pulled the briefs from his bag. "I found them hidden under our hotel bed." As Miriam laughed, Hashim couldn't keep a straight face anymore and broke into a grin.
"You are such a pest. You know that, don't you?"
"Don't mind if I do."
Alex sat on a garden chair on a pristine lawn with a view of the open lake, waiting for Hashim to emerge from the house. He didn't want to push his friend more than it was necessary. Anyway, they were not in a hurry anymore. He had sent his pitch to the New York Times and the Washington Post, and all he could do now was wait. In the meantime, they should try to relax. Instinctively, he knew this peace and quiet wouldn't last for long. As he saw Hashim lumbering out of the house, he got up. He knew his friend wouldn't feel comfortable walking past him in his new swimwear. Thus, Alex sprinted down the lawn and hit the pier running. Screaming from delight, he lurched into the lake. Energized by early summer chilly water, he watched the small particles dance in the sunlight below the surface. It felt like the alkaline, soft liquid had taken him into its embrace. In the meantime, Hashim made his way to the end of the pier and sat down, swinging his legs. He seemed to be in his own world and didn't notice Alex diving just below until getting his big toe pinched. He cried out, but then he saw it was Alex. Bobbing in the water, Alex flashed a big smile. However, nonverbal, soft communication didn't bring the desired results. Yet, he had come fully prepared and said the magic words his friend couldn't resist. "It's now or never." Hashim hugged his legs, hiding behind them.
"You won't give up, won't you?"
Alex shook his head, grinning.
"There's no next time,"
Hashim said and threw himself right next to Alex, splashing as much as he could. After wiping his eyes, Alex sunk down to be by his buddy, who was watching him in the crystalline water. They stayed put for 10 seconds, sharing a moment of silence, eyeing each other with a slight smile on their faces. Alex felt his heart exploding from pride as he watched Hashim diving further towards the open lake. It had been 9 months since his friend had tried to drown himself. No doubt, Hashim had feared that the pool was still there. That was why Alex had wanted to be there, right next to him, when the time came to conquer his demons. Alex came up for air and let himself float on the surface, watching the clouds rolling over. Muffled sounds of waves pushing to shore had an hypnotic effect on him, lulling him into a kind of childhood trance he had enjoyed so much when he was a kid. There was no time, no anxieties, just a blue sky up above. Until somebody squeezed his butt, and Alex saw Hashim's smiling face surfacing by his side. However, he felt too much at peace to start a water fight like he would normally do. Instead, he hopped on Hashim's strong shoulders and let his friend do all the hard work to get them back ashore.
Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Trilogy podcast. For more information, go to my website, henrikvillenius.com.